What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. It is imperative that you learn how to understand the situation and see the big picture. And this is something that takes some practice to do, because, of course, if you have a conscience, you do not want to see the evil that's right in front of our eyes. But we must do so, because that's the only way we're going to be able to stop it and create an anti-hell. Remember that negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. My two websites are drcarly.com and reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. I thank all of you who have made donations on my site, which I use to do further research in this never-ending bioweapon situation we find ourselves in. I also do consults for people, as I've talked about many times on the show. However, I don't practice medicine. I don't give medical advice. I actually teach you how to do what works. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. Toll-free number, 888-321-6751. Which you can use in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice. My Skype username is drcarly1, but Skype is for international clients and radio shows. I have too many contacts. If you're in the U.S., please call me instead, or Canada, or the Caribbean. Okay, please check out my archives on the Light of Day Radio Show.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. Unfortunately, I've been doing so many shows recently that Sheldon can't keep up with it. There is one extremely important show I suggest you access. I was on again this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on RBN, sitting in for Maggie of the Unsolicited Opinion, as I did the week before. On this past week's show on Thursday, I had a show with Jane Burgermeister, the Vienna medical journalist, about the bird flu situation. It was even a more enlightening show than the show that we did last Sunday on these changing times. So I do encourage you to go into RBN Archives, Unsolicited Opinion, for this past Thursday, and check that show out and tell others. Also, I encourage you to please help support the station, especially get a t-shirt and become a walking advertisement, because obviously this network has a lot of hosts who are trying to give you the proof of what's being done so that we can all do something about it. If you have any questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 716-213-6816 or toll free at 888-320-6151. Thanks again to Ron of Dependable Voice. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever's speaking. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing America, is false flag diversions distracting the public. And I have on the line Sam Edwards from One Voice for the Kids. I had interviewed him last week. He and his group, in alignment with other groups, started having a blockade yesterday in the UK on the way to the Olympics. They're trying to bring attention to the massive child slavery, trafficking, pornography, etc. business being carried out by governments in all countries, and including the UK. Okay, Sam, are you there? Please come on, and while you're talking, I'll look for Andrew's contact so we can get him in.
Thank you, Dr. Carly, for allowing us to come on your show again. I've got to say that first I'm going to start this by saying I want to say thank you to Steph, Andrew and Tina yesterday. They managed to block up the M25, which is the main arterial road to the highways of England. All the other motorways or highways link onto the M25. They were allowed to have two lanes of the M25, making it 66% of the M25 was actually brought to a standstill, I believe. I wasn't there. I couldn't get there myself, thanks to the government. They stopped my money. But due to me not being able to get there, Steph told me that it was three cars that actually caused all this, that they got 66% of the motorway closed, which is a great result in itself. And then following on that night at 7 o'clock on Channel 4 in England, Channel 4 News, they made a 15 to 20 minute documentary of actually kind of blowing the whistle, if you like, on why so many thousands of parents in the UK are fleeing the country to leave the country because they fear that social services are trying to steal their children. And some of these parents are haven't even had their child yet, and they're being threatened with a seizure of their baby, if you like, you know.
I have to ask a question. It's great what you're saying, however, did the people that were stopped in traffic have any clue as to what was going on? Because, you see, otherwise they're just going to say, oh, it was a traffic jam, blah, blah, blah. Yes, it's great they did a documentary on the news that night, but did they say that the massive traffic jam was in protest for the stealing of children?
Well, because the M25 is three lanes in most places and four in others, they agreed there was quite a lot of police assistance in this case. They allowed the blockade to happen. For motorists that were in the fast lane, if you like, they went on the outside of the protest. So they would have seen it. They would have seen what it was all about, and they would have taken photographs. They would have been handed out leaflets because they were going quite slow, apparently. I think the general census was that, you know, they did know what it was all about, you know, and then, you know, Channel 4 News making that documentary was fantastic. I mean, it was a double, in my opinion, it was a double whammy. It was a great victory. They shut the motorway down, which is what they said they would do, and we said we would do that, you know, and having... this is why I don't take the numbers so seriously on social networking sites. You know, nobody turned up. Nobody came to it. But however, Steph, Tina and Andrew, with only three cars, they stopped the M25. Two lanes, 66%. Great victory. It's one for us. And we're not even finished yet. I mean, this is only just starting. We've got another one, which I'll explain a little bit more in more detail in a minute, which is the protest outside Downing Street. But you've got to appreciate that, you know, the M25 is 117 miles long, and for them to take up 66% of it on two lanes and slowing it down and stopping it in some places, great result, fantastic result, you know. And for the three people who actually brought it to a standstill with three cars, unbelievable. And you know, it was just, that's what we set out to do, and she said that we can do this with three cars, and that's exactly what they did. Beautiful result.
Okay,
sorry,
I've got to say,
I can't stop saying that. It was a fantastic result, whichever way you look at it.
No, it's a fantastic result as long as the people stopped knew why they were stopped. So I'm glad, as you said, that you did have billboards there or whatever, and we're handing out flyers, because if they didn't know what was going on, it's absolutely nothing for your cause. But I am totally disgusted that only three people showed up. But I know how this works, you know. So many people that they're watching from the sidelines, you know, they're all behind us that are on the front lines, but they're doing nothing financially or in person to actually help us. You know, it's easy to join in a cause once the main work is done, once the, you know, the lid has been blown, so to say, so that it's not as dangerous to join in. And these people that are doing nothing, I mean, you know, it's just a matter of time before they come for their children. And escaping the UK, good luck with that. Because guess what? They're doing it here, too. They're doing it in Ireland. They're doing the same thing everywhere. It's not going to save you just to leave the UK, because this child theft is going on everywhere. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, it is going on in everywhere. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, the the result of yesterday really highlights, I mean, yeah, you're right, with the amount of numbers that did turn up, do you know what I mean, they're the ones with the conscience, and most of those three, as far as I know, are actually fighting the same, they're fighting the battle because they are, they've actually gone through it, you know. Andrew was there, and you know, everybody knows about Andrew. I mean, Andrew's was vaccine induced with his children. They've been removed, and I don't know about the other two, but as far as I know, they have. But I mean, you're right with the numbers. I never go by numbers. What's actually on social networking sites? But you're right. You know, it's a conscience thing. Do you know what I mean? You have to have the conscience. You know what I mean? But it's no point joining in after the hard work's been done. Why don't you pitch in and help us do it? You know, right. Because at the end of the day, you're right. It could be you. It is the lottery. You know, and there is a logo that shows the British version of the lottery, that it could be you that goes up against the system, and it could be your child that's taken away from you. It's that simple. Or the whole, all of your children. You know, they might not just see the one out. They'll take the whole lot of you from you.
Sam, there's the music. We're going to a commercial. It will be you. That's what I say. It will be you. So get off the couch. Okay, we're going to a commercial. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We are secrets to each other. Each one's life a novel. No one else has read.
And we're back with What's Ailing America and the World. And I have as my guest for the first part of the show, the founder of the group One Voice for the Kids, Sam Edwards. The website is onevoiceforthekids.org.uk, as well as Andrew Feacher, one of the members and warriors for the group. And at this point, we want to bring you on, Andrew, to tell the listeners how it all went down in regards to starting a situation where you could basically hold off traffic going into the Olympic area as a protest for child trafficking in the UK.
Yeah, well, it sort of all happened out of desperation for my part. When we heard that Sam, for different reasons, couldn't make it to the event, I started to sort of worry a bit. Bear in mind, the police came to my door that day, two CIDs, saying, look, if you go to that event, there will be trouble on your part because you will be responsible for everybody who attends and for everybody who plays up on the day. So that actually made me stronger. Normally I would run a mile, I would hide, it made me stronger. I got in touch with the police in London. They didn't want to know. In the end, about 9 p.m. that evening, the day before, I actually rang up the police again. And I said, look, your last chance, not my last chance. We need support. We don't want radical groups such as the English Defence League or other ones to hijack the event and make it bad. I said, I want, and all my people want, a reply by midnight. So 1 minute past midnight, I think they'd deliberately done that way, I got a call from an area called Bedfordshire. Mr. Peacher, you have as many police cars, as much support vehicles as you need. Please go to bed, and we'll meet you in the morning at 7 a.m. near London. And
okay,
so that
wait,
was it, really.
Okay, I have to comment on that, because that is so important what you just said, Andrew. They called you to intimidate you. You basically said to them, you're protecting criminals. We've had it. You know, either you're going to be with us or there's going to be problems not caused by us, but because you're going to probably actually foment it to begin with, because that's what happens a lot of times. The other side will send in, you know, provocateurs and infiltrators and stuff to start throwing bottles or whatever, and then all of a sudden it's an attempt to basically distract from the good work that you and Sam are doing. So that's supposed to show, Andrew, what happens when you stand up to these monsters, because guess what? If they didn't allow you to do what you do, they're violating all your rights, and of course they know the world is watching, as well as the fact that these crimes against humanity that are being carried out by these higher level minions that they're allowing to occur, eventually I think the word is out that they're going to end up in the defendant's box as well. So they're going to have to think twice. They can do their scary thing And then when that doesn't work, when you prove you're a real man and you stand up and say, go away, boogeyman, it's not working, isn't it funny how it all worked out?
Well, actually, what I found out during the day when I met the police in the morning, and this is very, very bizarre because I'd never dreamed. They actually have a department called the Protesters Liaison Department, and this particular unit that helped us was the blockade officers. So not only do they have blockade officers to help people block the motorway safely, they have a protesters office. Now, why don't they let anybody know about that? I learned by mistake by putting my foot in and demanding and talking to these guys nice and happily and peacefully, and I learned how the system really is. I learned a lot of tricks as well for next Friday's event.
And let me just say that I'm sure that they learned that the things that you're trying to bring attention to are not only extremely important, but it could apply to them as well. You see, go ahead.
Yeah, sadly, Dr. Carly, I don't know if this was a good omen, but one of the first was met by an inspector on the day. The liaison officers, this will make you laugh a little bit. One was called the surname Guest. Second one was called House. Now, being witty, I said, is this a bit of a mickey take, you know, a joke? Because, you know, your police stations often refer to as a guest house, you know, a place where people stay and get their breakfast.
Right.
So anyway, I talked to the chief inspector, and he actually, inspector, not chief inspector, he'd actually lost his children to social services. So I don't know whether we were given all this support because it meant something to them personally.
Whether or not he's just doing his job, but I'm sure there's that little bit of personal interest. You know, because, see, eventually, that's why I try to educate the police and the military about vaccines. They're killing you, okay? They're killing your children, they're maiming them, they're giving them disease, and you're working for them, trying to stop people like me, so that you can continue to support that network. You know, that's the message that has to get through. Okay, so I love this, Andrew. First of all, let me ask you, did anybody video it so it could be on YouTube or something?
We weren't able to video it due to internet issues and Bamboozer as an internet program, but we did take loads and loads of pictures, which the girl called Steph's on holiday at the moment, helping somebody out down in Wales overnight, and when she gets back, she's making at least a video of it. It won't be moving traffic video, but it'll be stills.
Okay.
It'll be on YouTube then with some words of thanks, really, to the police and encouragement to the people. If you want a protest or a roadblock, there is a liaison officer near you.
Exactly. And I think it's a really good sign that this happened, and especially that one of them admitted to you that he has been a victim of the very system that you're protesting himself. You see, it's funny how that works out. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to say, can I just finish up by saying on the day, we were told there were certain rules. We had to keep the outside lane, the inside lane open, blah, blah, blah. If safety is a problem, you'll have to stop, all that and all that. But what they actually did was they had one police car in two lanes, and the first 20 minutes, and this is what we've got the pictures of, in the back of us, all the pictures being taken by a third person, there was loads and loads of traffic behind us. We were not aware, though, that we'd caused so much trouble until later on when we were told. The clue was there was hundreds of Facebook messages saying, well done, Steph, well done to you guys. We didn't have a clue what was happening until Sam told Stephanie what was going on. And finally, what was really a brilliant day out ended with meeting Brian Gerrish again, and he's coming to my Skegness conference in September. And I hope, Dr. Carly, that you can still do your Skype chat regarding the vaccines.
Yes.
Yeah,
go
because
ahead.
We've now got a venue. Brian Garrish is coming there, and we've also got an Irishman, I don't know his surname, he's going to talk about the mind control, Dennis, his name is, he's been on your show and he absolutely loves you to bits like we all do.
Well, yes, there's a lot of people researching different aspects of this, and now we have this false flag event that just happened in the U.S., this, you know, a serial massacre at a theater here. I'll be talking about that more on the show. But I just have to say, Andrew, I find it actually quite hilarious. From what you're saying, it sounds that the police themselves were part of the blockade because they were blocking off those two lanes.
Well, I get my cheek and wit from Sam Edwards, really, because this is one of his stunts. If we can't do it on our own, we'll make them do it with us.
Right. Right. So I just hope more and more people that were involved in that traffic delay find out why the delay occurred. That's my concern, that they'll just all believe that it's just, you know, there's so much traffic going into London for the Olympics. I'm glad that you're going to put this on YouTube, and I would like you and Samson, I'll talk about your next event. I think it's, isn't it, on July 27th, you're planning something at Downing Street?
Is that for Sam, yeah?
Either of you.
Yeah, I'll let Sam carry on in a second, but yeah, me, Sam and David Jenkins was... planning the protest. It's called Soul and Children of the UK, and again, it's to stand together and let the government know, especially the Cameron government, that, you know, we will not back down as protesters, as parents. Sam can explain. I've got loads and loads of things to do tonight. Thanks very much, Dr. Carly, for having me again.
Okay. You're welcome, Andrew. And not only that, I just want to bring up again, and it was in the mainstream media, that David Cameron left his own child in a pub when him and his wife brought his children to a pub and then left in separate cars and did not realize that the little girl was still back at the pub. Now, any other person would lose their child over that, okay? So these are different aspects of the situation that we have to highlight. Guess what, Davy boy? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I think we need, you know... an investigation into you. I think you should lose your child. I think your child should be used for child trafficking, child porn, and psychiatric drug experiments, just like all the rest of the children. Are you there, Sam?
Yeah, I'm here. I am here. I just want to say that whilst the blockade was going on yesterday, I wanted to see what would happen if I actually went to my local police station, which is about half a mile away, to see what would happen if I reported the crime of child stealing by the state. And I asked for a high-ranking officer, and they can only give me the inspector, which I've met before. And he said to me, are you the victim of the child stealing by the state? And I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, in that case, you cannot report it. So then I then questioned him by saying, if I am in my kitchen and I am doing the dishes or making a cup of coffee and I see somebody that's not associated with my neighbor's house, and I see that person break into that house, even though it's not my house and I'm not the victim of that crime, can I report the crime? And he says, well, yeah, because that's burglary. So I said, well, hang on a minute then. So if that's burglary, what is child stealing by the state? You're coming in daylight robbery, basically. You're stealing my child for no reason, because you believe that I'm emotionally harming my child because I love them. Well, in that case, you need to lock me up for the rest of my life then, because I'll die for my children. And I just could not believe what was coming out of his mouth. And I said, how is it?
Not only that, let me mention, okay, I don't know what the situation is in the UK, but here in the States, people can make anonymous tips to CPS anytime. They can call up and they can say that I believe that child so-and-so, you know, is being abused with whatever crap they tell them, okay? They can make an anonymous complaint. The police and Child Protective Services will go to the house and take the children on no basis whatsoever except for the anonymous complaint. And then the parents have to spend sometimes up to 15 months in court trying to rescue their sons and daughters while they're put in foster care And, of course, the state makes big money off that. So it's totally insane that you cannot make a complaint, you know, although you're not being anonymous, but you're basically saying that the state is stealing children and harming them. Isn't it funny how what's good for the goose is not good for the gander here?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's like I keep using this metaphor that they're sweeping under the political shagpile carpet. You know, it's lunacy, because there I am. Okay, I use the word loosely, but there I am, a citizen of this country. I've got to use that word carefully, I know. But there I am, I'm reporting a crime, and I'm told I am not allowed to report that crime. That's ludicrous. Absolute. It defies belief. You just don't understand that. So, you know, but yet you can, as you say, we can do that. We can do that. That's how it works here, I dare say, in the same sort of sense, I suppose. But, you know, if you see a crime happening, it's your duty to report that crime if it's not normal. Do you know what I mean? Now, just to bring it into sort of some sort of context. Now, I'm going to apologize in advance, but we've got a guy over here. I can't remember what his name is. I know his surname is something Golf, I think. And he's called the Naked Rambler. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he walked from Land's End to John O'Groats, totally with no clothes on. And he's been arrested many times for, you know, he believes his body beautiful, he can do this and he can do that. He's not doing it near schools or anything like that, which is, you know, good. You know, he's not doing it anywhere near children, but, you know, he has walked through towns, I dare say, and, you know, kids have seen, or been in cars and they've seen a naked man and it's all forgotten about, you know, but the reason why I brought that up is because you know, where's the law? I mean, that's a statute of law. You know, it's a statute. Statutes don't apply. But what I'm saying is that, you know, why is it that you can have certain laws that are actually written laws and they're not executed as they should be, but the minute you expose yourself, do you know what I mean? Then, you know, it's that's a force of law. Maybe I'm not getting my point across.
Yes, you are, and I will answer the question because I lived it in seven courts for 7 years. Basically, and I even had an appellate court in Brooklyn say this to me, that there are laws on both sides, and the court can rule any way it wants. So when they have their Mason brothers in there that have committed crimes or whatever, when they have the governmental agents that are doing exactly what they're designed to do, which is steal children, et cetera, they can come up with some excuse as to why that's not allowed. But then, as Andrew proved, once you start digging, oh, yeah, you can have a blockade. Matter of fact, we'll give you a couple police cars to help you do it. Okay, so that's why people have to keep digging. And when they're given these insane answers by the quote-unquote authorities, they have to just say, I'm sorry, that does not compute. And that's not going to work. And, in fact, if you aid and abet the stealing of children or any other crime against humanity, you are in the defendant's box. Go ahead.
See, the thing is that, you know, I saw a sticker on a car, and I'm sure I said this before, that the government will take your car if you don't put, you know, put tax or insurance or an MOT certificate on your vehicle.
Right.
Okay, and then they'll take that car. Now, there was a sticker in this car saying, don't steal, the government doesn't like competition.
Right.
Which kind of tickled me a little bit, do you know what I mean? It kind of made me laugh. But I'm just wondering, I mean, you know, that's the same sort of thing if we took them back. Because there was a lady on that show, on Channel 4 News last night, who did exactly that. She seized the opportunity, it was meticulously planned, and she took her child back. Now, she's on the run, obviously, do you know what I mean? Because she's going to get prosecuted for kidnapping her own child. You know, and that's again, a statute of law. It's not a force. It's a force of law. It's not law. So they can't really prosecute her for taking her own child. And if they do, then that's absolutely disgraceful. But, you know, the whole point of the essence behind of what we're doing and taking such drastic measures by blockading the M25, which is, as I said, the main arterial road of Britain. If that shuts down, the rest of the country will follow. It's obvious. But we have to take such drastic measures because the government's refusing to listen. And this is right. the pinnacle point, you know, but what's going to change it? Now, we had a great victory yesterday, regardless what anybody else thinks. But again, it's down to the strength of numbers. If people don't start waking up, I mean, you know, we know that we talk, sometimes in your show, we talk about the bigger agenda, the bigger picture. But they're struggling with the reality of child stealing by the state. Nah, they wouldn't do that. Well, they are. But they're struggling with the reality of that. So that, you know, if they can't fathom what we're telling them, and we've got proof, we've shown you, you know, but they're going to struggle with Agenda 21, and they'll just lose total interest. You know, the whole emphasis on child stealing and child trafficking around the world isn't just isolated to one country. It's a global thing, and it makes a lot of money. In England itself, it makes £20 billion a year.
Yes.
£20 billion. That's disgusting.
Okay, but Sam, the problem is people have to realize the big picture, because vaccines are bioweapons. They're killing us off. I mean, the list is endless. So what I try to make people realize is that we're running out of time. They're stepping up their agenda. You know, a lot of people that have a conscience can't face reality because this is too evil to even comprehend. But guess what? We don't have time to pussyfoot around anymore. You're going to have to do your own research. You're going to have to check things out for yourself. Because if you do nothing, if you do not check things out for yourself, and if you remain silent knowing that these things are happening, then you are just as guilty as the ones doing it. Because without your silence, they would not succeed. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, again, that's why, you know, a week later after the blockade, that's why the Justice for Stolen Children of the UK and the Stolen Souls of the UK is being done this Friday coming. And this is going to be outside Downing Street. Now, me personally, I'm going to be there from about 7 o'clock in the morning, twiddling my thumbs, you know, but making my presence known to the police and making them panic a little bit. Now, by the time, I mean, again, it's been suggested there's going to be over 300 people there, but most of that you're going to see there are people reveling towards the Olympic Stadium, do you know what I mean? So most of that is going to be, you know, foreign nationals and foreign tourists. So really, you know, again, the proof's in the pudding. You know, if they turn up, they turn up. If they don't, they don't. And as you said before, if you don't do anything about it, you're better off dead. Well, you are dead. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, this is important. You know what I mean? And, you know, my great-grandfather is turning in his grave because he laid his life down for me and everybody else so that we didn't have to live the way they were. And now we're back, right back where we started from, and they're turning in their graves, and we're fighting a system that is more corrupt than it was back then. And the technology that we've got now, I mean, you know, my computer was shut down on the day before the protest. I reckon that they intervened something with my computer. It's back up and running again now, do you know what I mean? So I was only down for about 8 hours. So, you know, a nice little dent, but I mean, you know, I'm back up again. Yeah. So, you know, the whole point of this protest really on the 27th is to, you know, have the stolen children return back to their families with immediate effect. You know, we're still, you know, as you say, there's no reasoning with these psychopaths, you know what I mean? But we have to, in some respects, we have to say that there has to be some amount of, you know, intervention from both sides and say, look, you know, this is the way it should be done. Start doing it this way and you won't have a problem. And these things that we're doing will stop. You know what I mean? But we have shown yesterday that we have control. We have a lot of control. And as Bedfordshire Police demonstrated very nicely by saying, hey, we've got 12 cars. We've got all these officers spare for you. Let's do it. And they're saying, let's keep up the pressure because it needs to be out in the public. That's what they said. I spoke to them yesterday whilst Andrew and the others were doing the blockade. And they said that this needs to be out. It's a crime. It needs to be reported. So I said, well, can I report it with you then? No, because you don't fall in our area.
Right.
But so again, there's a hurdle. Do you know what I mean?
It's double talk. It's double talk, okay?
It's a double standard.
it's not going to work anymore, okay? Yeah, you should do this, but we won't allow you to make a criminal complaint. Give me a break. It's all baloney. And these monsters have to be stopped, period. And actually, I realized that another aspect to them making all these police cars available is that that will make it less obvious that it's a protest by your group, because people will just see police cars. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Please stand for the last couple minutes of this hour, and then we'll continue with the next false flag deal. Bye-bye. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America and the World. And my guests for the first part of the show today are Sam Edwards and Andrew Peacher from onevoiceforthekids.org.uk. And they are an example of, you know, what people can start to do. If nothing else, even if it doesn't get mainstream media attention, you're basically standing up to these intimidators and letting them know, I'm sorry, your laws are ridiculous. Makes no sense that these crimes against humanity can continue, but we're not allowed to assemble and report it. Nope, don't accept that. And that's what people have to start to do. That's the beginning. And Sam, I remember when you were on last time, you were talking about how there were some truckers that said they were going to get involved and all kinds of stuff. So what happened with that?
Well, it's just a game. It's a game of numbers again, isn't it? You know, when people say they're going to do something and they don't, they're the ones who are going to look silly, not me. You know, my conscience is clear. I'm standing up, so you know it doesn't really affect me that they don't turn up. It's just that they're not prepared. They're not ready yet to protect themselves and their children. You know, so if that's the case, then obviously their children don't matter to them. I'm just assuming, but I could be wrong. I mean, you know, when people say they're going to do something, you would like to think they are going to do it. You know, it's that simple. I mean, there was some, I got the figures wrong. There's 1.5 million union members in that Coryton refinery, and I was told that, you know, they're going to come. They were going to bring a load of lorries and vans and loads of members, but again, they didn't talk, they didn't walk the walk, they don't. You know, and that's why I can sleep clearly at night. And, you know I get up in the morning and the first thing I'm on is this. I'm on this 24/7, really. I sleep and eat this. Do you know what I mean? And we are slowly but surely stopping it. It is going to come out. And, it, you know, that documentary that came out last night is just a start. You know, we asked for a press conference between ourselves and possibly David Cameron and his ilk. But, you know, that's never, I mean, you've got to appreciate it's never going to happen. But, you know, I will keep trying. I will keep trying because that's where it needs to be lobbied. It needs to be brought to his attention. But he talks about this over dinner. He does. He talks about child stealing by the state. He does. And, you know.
Yeah, he knows about it. Listen.
He does.
He knows about it. He's participating in it. He knows that these children are being used for sex trafficking rings and global pedophiles all over the planet. He knows all these things, okay? So, you're right, it's never going to happen because he knows, he already knows. But the people who say they're going to show up and don't show up, of course, those people are cowards, and eventually they're going to be affected as well. As a matter of fact, they're already being affected. They just don't realize it. I just wanted to mention that there's all kinds of occult things happening at the beginning of the Olympics, and I really encourage people to meditate, pray, whatever word fits it, to send protection for those at the Olympics. I'm convinced there's going to be some false flag event there, possibly a bioweapon, which would be the bird flu vaccine or something of that nature. But people just have to, you know, send energy to London, so that whatever these monsters are planning, and as I said, they're having an occult ritual at the beginning of the Olympics to get ready for this mass, whatever they've planned, the people of conscience need to use their energy. And the energy of truth is a very powerful weapon, and I encourage you to start sending that to where it needs to go. And at this point, London is right at the top of the list. Okay, Andrew has a new show on Orion. I want to give him an opportunity to announce that. Are you there, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm here, Dr. Carly. Yeah, Jimmy says when he comes back from his vacation, we're going to discuss having the show after your own on a Saturday evening.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it's a few things that have got to be tied up at the moment, and I had to get a new stable connection, which I've got that. I've got a PC now that I can just do the show on. I am doing it, you know, with as many good people I can find. I mean, Sam sort of gave me this idea, and I think he's always busy, but it's not just my show. I mean, I'm there maybe, but if Sam wants to talk for 2 hours about subjects and Brian Garish and other professionals, then they're welcome. And yes. I'll just be the host.
Are you going to continue your daily show during the week on Blog Talk?
Yeah, I think I'll cut that down to 3 days a week because it is time-consuming, and you can only talk about so much new stuff, you know, so many times a week. So I think three times a week on Blog Talk, and one of them will probably be a repeat of the Saturday evening show on Orion.
Okay, and that's Blog Talk Radio. At this point, you're on Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern. And what's the name of the show again?
At the moment, we've just called it Stop Forced Adoptions, but we are looking for, you know, a lovely name for Orion. Hopefully Jimmy or one of the guys, Ron Stevens, could probably come up with a good name, you know, because, you know, yours is a good one and so on and so on. I just need a catchy one.
Right, but I'm just trying to give out the name that they can access it at this point. Are there archives, are there archives on Blog Talk that people can access?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and the biggest one for ratings is the Dr. Carly Vaccine Show. We keep getting hit by hit by hit in the archives.
So, okay. Well, I'm glad this archive. Yeah, and like I said, see, it all ties together, because when they forcefully adopt your children, you know they're going to be used to experiment on with vaccines and other pharmaceutical drugs. And the people that are taking care of them in most instances are not, let's just say, you know, the parent type, you know, the ones that you would want to take care of children if you couldn't take care of them. They're doing it for money. And there's all kinds of scandals that come out in this country, and I'm sure in the UK as well, about these foster carers, which that word drives me crazy. They're doing the opposite of caring for the children. But the massive amounts of money that they make and how they treat these children, usually extremely badly. And that has to be stopped, because they are creating a generation of emotionally and physically disabled children. And there's a reason for that, because as we march towards the New World Order, they don't want to have a bunch of young people that are able to think and act on their, you know, common sense. They want a bunch of disabled zombies that are on psychiatric drugs. Okay, so Sam or Andrew, if you want to make any closing statements, I have a lot of other things to discuss in the second hour, and I know that you have other things you both need to do too. I encourage you to continue to do what you're doing, and after the July 27th protest at Downing Street, please do come back on and let us know how that all worked out.
Yeah, I've just got to say before... Oh, sorry, Sam. I've just got to say before I go... Yeah. Before I go, and I am busy, I've got Stop Forced Adoptions in 5 minutes. Before I go, never give up US, never give up Great Britain. There is always a way of getting that message out. More importantly, don't let the psychopaths win, otherwise you've lost it all.
Yes, yes. And we're already dead, so we have nothing to lose, so lose your fear. Any closing comments, Sam?
Yeah, just very quickly. It's amazing that you say that we're dead, because there's a document that we have that I've got a copy of. I will send it to you. But it's a bill that says that we are, in this country, we are dead.
Yes.
It clearly states it.
Yeah, please do send it to me. But everything they're doing with the pre-pandemic bird flu vaccines proves that, okay? And I'm going to be talking about that further during the second part of the show. But yes, that's what people have to face. That they can't hide their heads in the sand. They're not going to be saved by doing that. working for these monsters is not going to save them, because evil is evil even to its own. So let's join together and put these monsters out of business. There's no other option.
No, you're right. There is no other option. And, you know, for those who've got a conscience and will, who are prepared to stand up, or who are already standing up, good on you and keep up the work. You know, for those who are not quite there yet, you know what I mean, start researching it. You know, you have to research this.
Yeah, I always tell people, Sam, don't believe me, check it out for yourself.
I mean, I could sit here all day and tell you. I could sit here all day and tell you about it, what I know to be the truth. You know, it's useless to you until you start researching yourself. Do it. Do the research. We're telling you where to look. You know, listen to Dr. Carly's show on the archives. Go onto my website, onevoiceforthekids.org.uk. Go on there and you'll see what's going on. There's links on there to tell you, you know, to take you to other places. You're going to see it. I mean, I've got a document tonight that tells me about the loans to foster carers. I mean, I got that about an hour ago and I'm still on the first page. Because it's amazing how much these carers actually get. You've got a purpose with a loan. These people, these carers, can have a car, they can have access to getting the you know, money to have an extension built on their house tax free. You know what I mean? It doesn't end. So that's a different show.
Every time you use that term carers, I cringe, okay? What I would suggest you do is start calling them child abductors, also known as AKA carers, because, you see, they're being called carers, but they're actually child abductors. Please start calling them what they are. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. Keep up the good work, Sam. Stay in touch. Give us updates. And never stop, because truth will win out in the end. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
And today I have a special treat for you guys. I'm going to be interviewing Jim Mars coming in.